part of it on their Facebook pages and that. And I'm almost feeling that's really old school and that there's a bit of fear behind what might happen versus the potential benefits of having your staff being your salespeople.
Right. To be honest, I don't know why they would do that. I think in order for me to give like a, you know, a good answer, I'd have to understand a little bit more about the reasoning that they don't want the staff to represent the organization, especially on social media. I mean, I think the more promotion you can get, the better. What I would offer is that it needs to be structured. So perhaps one of the reasons is they don't want it to come across unprofessional. They don't want it to be sort of out of alignment. So perhaps part of the reasoning that they would restrict their employees from participating on social media is because they don't want it to come across as being unprofessional. And so what we teach people, what I've taught you, is to have a content calendar, right? Is to have some type of editorial calendar where you know who's going on social media on what day and what they're supposed to be talking about, so that it's structured around themes, around events that are happening within the company. And that doesn't take very long to put together at all. If you're going to do this sort of three times a week, you know, you could basically schedule out an entire quarter based on the events happening within that organization. If you're having a holiday party or there's some type of birthday or you're doing a massive donations drive, like you can absolutely have assign, you know, Jill and Rachel and Marie each day to jump on Facebook Live and talk about a different aspect of the company. So I definitely think the nonprofits who are implementing social media, specifically live video, they're the ones that are going to win, because most of the people that have the money are on social media, specifically Instagram and Facebook.
So really, a nonprofit could have a team of staff who actually love the social media arena, which I'm thinking are going to lend more toward the Gen Y population. Yeah. They do it more naturally. And, mm-hmm. But they could have a team. It doesn't have to be just one person. It requires somebody to take a lead in setting up that calendar and holding people accountable. But really, from that, there could be a lot of people behind the scenes helping to promote the work of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, social media can be very overwhelming, but if there's a plan in place and it should be part of the marketing and promotion strategies, I wouldn't really understand why a nonprofit specifically with these free marketing tools, these free channels that allow people to share and comment and like and create community, I don't know why they wouldn't be prioritizing that as a hard strategy that they're using to grow their donation base.
So if we were looking at the skill of that person that would need to lead it, you know, a lot of times organizations pull people from within to do this kind of stuff. Now, I have been somewhat discouraging that, because I think they're pulling people away from what their real aptitude is and where they're most needed. However, there are people from within an organization that have a passion around the social media, around the marketing, around those kinds of things. So is there any particular skill that you would say is needed to be successful in that role?
I'm laughing because I'm like, as long as you can speak the language, you're good. Because it's really not, you know, whatever language it is that you're communicating in, as long as you have access to Wi-Fi, you're good. You know, I don't think that you need any particular type of skill. It's helpful if you know graphic design, it's helpful, but there's also, you know, these amazing free software, like platforms like Canva or PicMonkey, where you can upload an image and modify it and add your logo. It's, you know, you don't need any technology training You're not going to break the computer if you try it. Like, it's just, it's someone who will take ownership over it. There's an abundance of free training on the internet. All you have to do is literally go into YouTube and type in your question. You will find a video. I believe that this is a strategy specifically by nonprofits because they don't have, you know, an abundance of manpower, an abundance of budget for sales and marketing. Like I said, like, I don't understand why it's not a priority to have someone within the company trained on how to create these marketing stories and use social media to the fullest advantage, because it's free. It's free.
Yeah.
And you can get really far reaching with it.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I'm smiling because I think my hesitancy around all of that is coming from my generational perspective. And, you know, we tend to make it bigger than it really needs to be. The whole thing about the internet, about social media. And so really it's giving it to those people who are most comfortable with it, giving them a guideline mm-hmm. around how they're to operate within it, and then letting them do it for you.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Although he doesn't work for a nonprofit, my dad is in his 60s and he's an engineer. So he already has that kind of mindset. And we have all of these old family videos. And so he decided that he was going to learn how to digitize them. And so he's now taken all of these old videos. He bought some software where he can, I don't even know how he would upload them, but he did. And he learned how to edit video and make movies. So my dad is a nuclear engineer, right?
Yeah.
And he now is making these amazing movies from like the 40s, the 50s, the 60s of my family, and using technology, namely like Dropbox, Google Drive, to disseminate all of these amazing videos of people who are no longer with us to my entire family all across the globe, right? Wow. He doesn't have any, I mean, he's a nuclear engineer. Like, okay, I'm sure he knows how to use like a software platform, but to edit video. So you don't need any particular type of training. And I think right now there's no better time than to open it up to people in your organization to say, who wants to learn these skills? Because, you know, taking video, being able to edit video at any of your community events, I mean,
yeah,
there's free video editing software. Like, you can save a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? And you can disseminate these amazing videos to your community, to your top donors. You can film private videos for them, thanking them. Like, there's so much you can do with technology and the internet. And I think, you know, nonprofits should really invest in that because they have a tighter budget than most.
For sure. For sure. You know, I want to shift gears just briefly. You know, we're kind of getting close to our time, and I want to hear about your perspective on coaching, distance supervision, supporting those that aren't immediately across the hallway or the table from you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are some of the important things for a coach to do and remember when they're working with people that aren't right there? How do you keep them motivated, on track, task-focused, all that kind of good stuff?
So I think the first thing is really understanding how they communicate and learn best. So it might, and as a coach and leader, that's my responsibility. So for an example, when you and I worked together, I figured out very quickly that you needed to-do lists and you needed action steps, and it needed to be very clear and very concise. Whereas I don't function like that. So if I mandated that you function in a way that's most comfortable and best for me, we likely wouldn't be having this conversation right now. You would have moved on to someone else because it didn't work for you. Mm-hmm. So I think anytime you're in a leadership or coaching or mentoring position, it can't be about you. You have to first and foremost understand how your client or your mentee or whoever it is that you're coaching, how they absorb, how they learn, and how they need the information to be disseminated to them so that they can actually take it in and then take action on it. And that's regardless of whether you're sitting in front of the person physically or we're talking, you know, on the other side of the world. I think you'll only be successful when you can pivot based on, you know, how your clients need you to teach them and to coach them. The other thing too is, and this I think is really important, is having a system, and a structure that you've used before with great success. You've tested it with others, obviously over the years, that you can then break down and teach to other people. It's repeatable so that as a coach, you're not having to continuously recreate the wheel. And it's really easy.